Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois. And I want to thank you for joining me today on blogtalkradio.com/nobetterway. Today is Monday, November 20th, 2017. And the title of today's show is, We Are Not Promised Tomorrow. And the reflection verse comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, and it reads, Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. There is so much said in that one verse which talks about believers becoming a child of God. It says that as a believer, he who receives Jesus into their hearts, they become children of God. And as believers, we are heirs. We inherit the kingdom of God. And as a believer, in my opinion, we receive the greatest gift anyone could ever receive, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. You know, with Thanksgiving approaching in a few days, we need to give thanks for many things in our lives, many blessings. Most of all, I'd like to thank you, Lord, for dying for me, dying for all of us. You died and you rose on the third day. You rose from the dead. You defeated death, Lord. And in that victory over death, it's victory for us all also, for all believers. So we die in you, Christ, and we raise with you too. And we look forward to the resurrection day when we all will rise. Rise in victory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So my next question, folks, my next question to you is this. Are you right with God? Romans 3:23, one of my favorite verses. We're all sinners. You, me, we're all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And so I ask you, have you given your sinful heart to the Lord? Have you made that leap of faith? Have you taken that leap of faith, or are you still dragging your feet? Are you pushing the decision of faith off? Pushing it off to another day? Maybe someday you think is a better day? Maybe you're thinking you need to clean things up before you go to church and that'll be the day when I give my heart to the Lord. Well, okay. For those that are putting their decision off, my question is, if today was your last day on earth, are you confident, totally confident, that you would go to heaven? And my thoughts are, what's your reasoning on that? I mean, we all can reason ourselves to saying, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy, pretty good girl, gal. You know, I'm a good father, a good husband. I'm a good wife. I'm a good mom. I'm a good grandmother, grandfather. You know, my goodness will get me to heaven. I'm good enough. God will let me in. Okay. Is that what the Bible says? And another thing is, you might be putting things off right now. Maybe things are really good right now. And maybe you're putting it off. You'll say one day soon, right? That's your reasoning right now. I'm young, I got time, I'm having fun, life is good. All right. My question to you then is, do you want to play Russian roulette with your soul? You know, I drove to a deli. It's about a half a mile from my house. They just lost their 21-year-old son in a car accident. Here today, gone tomorrow. And that family is devastated. The one thing is, if we do die today, and I know that the tragedy of death is painful, it just cuts to our hearts when you lose a loved one. But if we do go today and we've given our heart to Jesus, we've asked Jesus Christ to be our Savior, we realize we're a sinner, and the only way, the Bible says the only way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No matter how tragic the loss of life on that day you go, whether it's you or a loved one, and the painfulness of it, the one thing you can have solace on, the one thing that'll give you some comfort will be that you know that that person, they were a believer. They believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's comforting to know that one day, if you as a believer, you will see them one day. So I hope you're not right now playing Russian roulette with your life and thinking things are good right now. You know, the relationships are good. Your health is good. You know, everything's good for you, for your family. You may have a great job, great income, great wife and kids, a beautiful home. And you're reasoning and you're saying, well, I'll get around to it one day for myself and the wife and the kids. We'll find a good church. And one day soon, we'll take care of that. You know, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. What did we say? What's the title of the show? Tomorrow's not promised, folks. I'm not here to be a killjoy. I'm just here to be real, the reality of life. As much as we like to say we're all going to live to 80, 90, 100 years old, enjoy a life with our grandkids, I'm here to say that my wife, I lost her 3 years ago to cancer. She was only 59. She got to see her first grandchild born and celebrate her first birthday, but she would have liked to live to 80, 90, and 100 years old and enjoyed her grandkids, her great-grandkids. So tomorrow's not promised, folks. I'm sure you all have someone in your life that you lost too early. And the one thing is, you know, you're sick or you're not sick, or, you know, and if you have faith, there's always people in your life you're thinking they need to get right with the Lord. You know, what does it mean to get right with the Lord? Well, that means your life isn't about you and your world and your goodness, your self-righteousness. Your life is getting right with the Lord, saying that I can't do it on my own. I need you, Lord. I am a sinner, and I'm not going to be able to fix this sin condition by myself. It's only going to happen. There's only one way it's going to happen. Who's going to fix it? And I'm going to just say it over and over again, that the only way is through Jesus Christ. There is no other name that one can be saved. That's in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. By no other name under heaven can anyone be saved but through the name of Jesus. And amen to that. Another verse I like, a lot of people, you know, they're depending on their own goodness, their own righteousness, their own charity, whatever their goodness may be, they're leaning on and thinking that their goodness will get to heaven. Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" So there are those there that are living a good life. Maybe they're generous. They give to charity. They're loving to their family. All that stuff. And that's well and good. I mean, the good Lord wants you to be a good father, a good mom. Wants you to be a loving grandmother, grandfather. Wants you to have a heart to give. Wants you to have a heart to care for others. What does it say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2? It says, carry each other's burdens. And when you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ. So to be a good life, living a loving life, charitable and caring for others, that's all part of the equation, folks. But the main part is giving your heart to Jesus. That's the main thing. Without it, again, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. He says, no one comes to the Father but through me. So, if you believe that the Word of God is the inspired Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it moved men to write these words, but it's God's Word. I mean, even if you look at in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Who are we talking about, folks? We're talking about Jesus. He's the Word. So when we're reading the Gospels, when we're reading the Bible, the Word of God, it's actually Jesus we're reading about. The whole Bible points to Jesus. The Old Testament is Jesus concealed. You can read and you'll see that it is pointing to Jesus, but it's not clear. And then the New Testament is Jesus revealed because he came upon earth, right? Born of a virgin in a manger. He came upon earth and he revealed as the Son of God, proclaiming himself to be the Son of God, not refusing worship. When people worshiped him, he accepted worship, and that was saying right there that he is God, the second person of the Trinity. He one time proclaimed, I am. And when he said that, are you Jesus of Nazareth? When they went to arrest him in the garden, he says, I am. And when he said that, the soldiers fell to the ground. His voice was so powerful. It was the power of God that knocked the soldiers over. So when we look at who Jesus is, he was more than a prophet. The Muslims say he was only a prophet. The Muslims say that he didn't die on the cross, that he was rescued, that someone took his place. But he did die. There were 500 witnesses. I just watched the movie Case for Christ, written by Lee Strobel, who was a Chicago Tribune reporter, atheist, and he investigated the evidence of Jesus, and he couldn't refute it. The evidence points that Jesus, the Son of God, he did die on the cross for our sins, and there were witnesses to his resurrection, 500 witnesses in the Bible. 500 witnesses were a witness to his resurrection. So Jesus is not merely a man, not merely a prophet, a good man who performed miracles just because God inspired him. No, he, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, he is the God-man. And amen, I said to that. Again, I'll say, so if your life is flourishing, and right now, if someone says that Jesus is the way, the only way to eternity, and right now you're saying that it's not a priority, not right now, then when? Again, I say, tomorrow is not promised, folks. I've got a little story I want to tell you. I've got a small business, and several years ago, I had an employee, and he was kind of a stubborn guy. Good guy, he had a heart, but he was a stubborn guy, and he wasn't talking to his father. Him and his father, they had a major falling out, and my employee, I don't want to mention his name, he was determined to let his dad make the call and apologize. He wasn't going to be the first one to step up. And months went by, and still there was no patching things up. There was no reconciliation between my employee and his father. And there were a few times I encouraged him. You know, I says, you know, life is short. Try to patch things up with your dad. You know, it'll be good for both of you. You know, it's not good that you're not talking at your dad. And months went by. And then one day he told me his father had passed away. And to me, that was very sad news. And I could see that he was deeply affected by his father's passing. And the sad thing was that this chance that he had to reconcile, to patch things up with his dad, this time had passed. This time to reconcile, it had passed and had evaporated. It was gone into eternity. And I pray that maybe one day him and his father will not reconcile, but have a big hug for each other in heaven. But he'll have to live with that the rest of his life. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I have to say, life does pass by so fast. I can remember when I was just in my 30s. Now I'm 63. And I think of the words. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are like grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the words of our God stand forever. Again, I'll say that. The words of our God stand forever. And I say amen, hallelujah to that. So time flies, folks. It surely flies. And what's the old saying? Never do tomorrow what you can do today. You know, we can always say, I'll get it done tomorrow. And there are things that we can't possibly do every day. We've got projects around the house, and that's understandable. But I'm talking about the main things in life, whether it's making up with your, a family, a father, a mother, or a brother, sister, or whoever that you're not talking to. And, you know, you've had a fight and you've had a falling out, something like that. That's important. You need to take care of right away. And again, you know, things we put off, but the priorities we need to take care of. And again, I'll say tomorrow is not promised. Again, I'll say yesterday is like a canceled check, and tomorrow is a promissory note. So my dear friends, I say let today be your day of salvation. Peter, we're talking in the Bible now. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, proclaims, and this is in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. I kind of mentioned it earlier. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Amen. And then I'm going to read a little story. It's a powerful story. This also is in the thing is I like about the book of Acts, it's the Holy Spirit and its power working, the early church and the power of the Holy Spirit working in the early church. And this is in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and it's verses 25 through 34. And this is the story of the jailer. The jailer was the man in charge of the prison, and they had imprisoned the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Silas. And I will be chapter 16, starting with verse 25, and I'll go through 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. I'll stop there for a minute because one thing in the Roman times, this is the times of Jesus, right around when he was crucified and after, if a Roman guard, if his prisoner escaped, the most likely thing to happen to that Roman guard, if he let a prisoner escape, if they got away, that guard would be executed. So that's why he was going to draw his sword and kill himself, because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. And I'll continue. Verse 28. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Silas and Paul. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. What a powerful story. What a powerful story. It's a story about God's Holy Spirit power, power that caused an earthquake, that rocked that prison, opened the jail doors, cell doors, and tore off the chains of the prisoners. And it also, this Holy Spirit power, it moved the soul of the jailer and his family. And that jailer, you know, if you look at this kind of, not poetically, but basically I'm saying that this jailer, he was the true prisoner. Paul and Silas, they were singing songs praising God. It didn't matter if they were in jail or free. They were content in the Lord. This jailer was about to kill himself because he had thought he had failed and he didn't want to be executed. And he was still in his sins. And he was being moved by the Holy Spirit. And when he saw that Paul and Silas, they were honorable men. They didn't flee from the prison. And whatever that Paul and Silas had, he must have heard them singing and praying. Whatever Paul and Silas had, the jailer, he wanted that. He goes, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, and Paul said, "Believe in the name of Jesus and you shall be saved." So this power of the Holy Spirit not only rocked the prison, opened the cell doors, tore the chains off the prisoners, it also tore the chains of sin off the jailer and his family. So what a powerful, that's why I had to read it to you, folks. What a powerful story. And amen, I say to that, and thank you, Jesus, the power of how you work. And I'm going to wrap things up on my intro here with the words from one of my favorite verses. I say it all the time, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." So, folks, I hope those words are talking to you. That if Jesus is knocking at your heart right now, that door of your heart, I pray that you would open your heart to Jesus. Open your repentant heart to ask him to dwell in your heart. He will come in and dine with you, and he'll dine with you, and you will dine with him. And this will be a beginning of a relationship, a eternal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And to that I say amen. Amen. And we will take a little break. I'll play a song and I'll be back in a few moments. And you know what? Being Thanksgiving, I'm going to play the song Give Thanks. I hope you enjoy, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes, folks. What a great song. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his son. Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Amen. Appropriate song for Thanksgiving, just a couple of days away. I hope you enjoyed that song. I hope it gave you time to just reflect and just to be thankful for all the blessings, especially the fact that God is the Father has given his son, Jesus Christ. He's given him to us to pay. He paid the price, the ultimate price, the brutal death on the cross, and the hope in 3 days, the resurrection, the victory over death. That victory over death we celebrate with the Lord. And one day, even though we know that everyone's going to die one day we will celebrate and we will also be called out of the grave. We will be resurrected and it'll be a victory over death. And amen to that. Well, I did talk to my son today and he is calling in. He's got no, I know he's on the road tonight. I gave him the number 347-989-0095. And if anyone wants to call in, they've got a story to share. Maybe they just need need someone to pray for them. I'd be glad to pray for them. Or if they've got a question, I'll do my best to answer. If I can't, I'll just have to do a little research and get back to you on that. Maybe the next show, or I could text you back the answer. If you've joined me tonight, I want to thank you for joining me. Tonight's show title is Tomorrow is Not Promised. And sometimes we can think of that very lightly because chances are, you know, most of us, we're going to live for another, you know, whatever, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So we don't like to look at life as, hey, I might not be around tomorrow. But the reason I'm talking about it is because the most important thing in your life is, are you right with the Lord? Are you right with God? It's not like I'm trying to scare you, but I want you to realize how important your soul is. I mean, God, 1 Peter 3:9, it says, it's God's will that none shall perish. You know what? I'm going to look that up. It's either 1 or 2 Peter 3:9, and I want to be right. It is 2 Peter 3:9. It's God's will that none shall perish. He's patient with all of us. Amen. All right, that number again, 347-989-0095. I'd love for you to call in. We're all friends here, folks. All friends. Sometimes my brother Casey will text me in a question. He's got some good questions. Hopefully, maybe he can text in later on. You know, the one verse that really struck me, I watched a movie the last 3 weeks. I actually used this movie as a Bible study. It's called The Case for Christ, and it's a movie about there's a gentleman named Lee Strobel. He was a Chicago Tribune reporter. And he was an atheist, and his wife became a Christian, and he wasn't too happy about it. So as a reporter, he was going to go and study the evidence about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, he did one big, big, big study. And when it came to the end, he didn't have the evidence to prove it wrong. Matter of fact, the evidence showed that, yes, there was a Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, who performed miracles, who was crucified on the cross, and he did die. There were witnesses, And there were 500 witnesses to his resurrection. On the third day, he resurrected. So Lee Strobel, a famed Chicago Tribune reporter, was not able to prove that wrong. And one of the verses that his wife that she learned when she first became a Christian is from Gospel of John. I read it earlier. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So that verse, it breaks down coming to faith in three ways. First, as a Christian, when the Holy Spirit moves you and you come to faith, you first believe. You believe in Jesus Christ. And then, as you believe in him, you receive him. The second part is receiving him. And part of that is like when I read Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. When we receive him, we open our heart. We let Jesus Christ dwell in our heart, become part of our life. And from believing and receiving Jesus, we become children of God. We become heirs to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, the eternal kingdom. So I love that, because you can look at becoming a Christian is to believe in Jesus, then to receive Jesus, and then to become a child of God, which makes you an heir in the kingdom of eternity. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I love it. And there was a prayer when I watched this movie, Case for Christ. I want to share it with you because it's powerful how you can take the word of God and use it in prayer. You know, just like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? You could say, for God so loved David, or for God so loved John, or for God so loved Joe, or whoever, or for God so loved Cheryl. Or Chris, for God so loved Chris that he gave his only begotten son, that if Chris shall believe, Chris shall not perish but have eternal life. So we can personalize the word of God. We can take the word of God and use it as prayer. Because when we pray with the word of God, that's the words of that are the words of God. So I mean, there's nothing in this Bible that the God of our universe does not understand or know. So I think that's pretty cool. I'm going to go to Ezekiel. And I want to say that's Ezekiel 36. Bear with me here, because I just thought of this right now. And this was used as a prayer by Lee Strobel was the atheist in the movie, and his wife became a Christian. Her name was Leslie. And this is from the book, Old Testament book, Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26. And she prayed this every day for her husband. She'd say, "Dear Lord, please give my husband so she used the words, "Dear Lord, please touch my husband." The words are Ezekiel chapter 36, 26. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." So she would pray, "Dear Lord, give my husband a new heart and put a new spirit in him. Remove from my husband his heart of stone and give him a heart of flesh." And so she prayed this and prayed this month for months. And as hard as it was for her, she never stopped loving her husband and never stopped praying this prayer. And in the end, her husband gave his heart to the Lord. And so it's a really cool movie. I'd recommend it. The name of the movie is, it just came out maybe 6-8 months ago, and now it's out in DVD. It's called The Case for Christ. It's a good view. You'll enjoy it immensely. What? I do have a call. Hello, welcome to KnowBetterWay.net. Welcome Hello. To KnowBetterWay.net. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you calling in, David.
Oh, yeah. It's been too long.
I know. Title of my show is We Are Not Promised Tomorrow. And
Johnny, no promises.
Well, I heard one pastor one time say, Dave, yesterday's a canceled check and tomorrow's a promissory note. So all we have is today, you know, and so a lot of, I was talking on the show today that a lot of people, you know, they realize that they need to get right with God, but they keep putting it off. And a lot of times it's because they want to clean their act up. But, you know that you also heard where pastors will say, let today be your day of salvation.
Yeah. Well, the whole I need to descramble myself first is not going to work. I tried that for years. You're only going to be frustrated because we can't break our sin pattern. It's impossible. It's not about amount of effort. I mean, first of all, sin is going to keep drawing us if we don't have Christ and the Spirit of God to help us. And second of all, we just don't have the capacity in our sinful nature to break our sin patterns, but God does. So that's why Jesus has to come first. So
yeah,
he didn't come for the healthy, but for the sick. So if you see yourself as broken and in need to fix yourself, that means you're at the right place for going to Jesus. He doesn't say fix yourself and then come to me, because he says he didn't come for the healthy, he came for the sick. And everyone's sick and sinful when they go to Jesus. So it's like if you go to him and you're all scrambled up from some kind of sins, well, you're just like everyone else then.
Yeah. Well, the one verse I always like, it's kind of like the verse that equalizes everybody, Dave. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, we're all sinners, right?
Yeah. Even goes deeper than that. Yeah, no one does good. So, you know, even in the good things we do, a lot of times we have a selfish motive within that. So we're all in a debt. We're all in the same place where we desperately need a Savior, Jesus Christ. And the good news is God provided a Savior, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago. So there's hope. You just have to go to him. And like you said, you're not promised. So your title, like you're not promised tomorrow or something like that? Yeah.
Tomorrow is not promised.
Yeah, there's been times where I'm wanting to tell someone about Jesus, and if I don't get around to it, I get almost can be stressed out about it, because it's exactly what you said. You know, who knows if that person is going to be have an accident or something like that, you know. You never know what's going to happen in this world. And so that's why it's important, if you are a Christian, to share your faith every day. You know, with the people that God puts in your life, a cashier, whoever it is. And a lot of times we purposefully chicken out because we say, oh, they don't want to hear about that. But we make excuses, and reality is we're the ones chickening out, you know. But,
yeah.
The other side of it is that person might not have much longer to live, and you might be the only person that's bold enough to share Jesus with them. So, you know, if you're the Christian, you got to share for the glory of God, for the love of that person that doesn't believe yet. And then if someone out there is not the Christian yet, then recognize that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for your sin, rise again.
Yeah, I think sometimes people struggle because they're trying to figure out a different way. What's that one proverb? Man's ways seem right to him, but in the end, it just leads to death, you know, But you know how we're all proud, and you know how when you want to show your kid how to play with a toy or do something, and he'll just kind of like pull it away from you, like, no, I can do this myself, I can do it, right? But
yeah,
we're like that. We have that proud sense. We can, so there's a lot of people, and you know what? They're trying to be good people, charitable, and, caring about others. And so they figure, you know what? I'm a good person, and I'm going to go to heaven. And those, like, I think you mentioned one time, Dave, several months ago on a show, and you said those are kind of like the most dangerous type of people, because they're kind of content with their own goodness.
Yeah, like I think I said, like, they're the people I worry about the most, because they're in a lot of danger. Because if your mindset is that you're basically a good person, so you're fine, or your mindset is, yeah, I'm a Christian because my dad was or my grandma was. I used to go to church. I don't anymore, but I live a pretty good life. Like, that's a scary place to be, because a relationship with Christ is an obvious one that bears fruit, where you desire to worship Him and serve Him. And so if you have an authentic relationship with God, He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And God commands us over and over again to serve Him, to worship Him. And if our life doesn't include that, then probably a sign that we haven't made things right with God yet. That doesn't mean that you can't do that right now tonight by repenting of your sins and believing and saying, I don't want to just think of you in my mind as a ticket to heaven. I want to give you my life as my Lord and Savior, and I want a real relationship with you. And then, God through His Spirit can save you.
Yeah, and the hard thing about it is, Dave, this world, and everything about the world, and TV and entertainment and everything that just kind of pulls you away from that relationship. I mean, there's ways that you can take your faith into the world, but there's so many things in the world that'll kind of draw you away.
Yeah. I mean, that's a daily battle for all of us. Every day is a day to repent of sins and turn back to God, because every day that we live is a day we're going to screw up. So for anybody out there, it's like, well, I don't want to become a Christian because Christians are hypocrites. That's not really the case. The case is Christians don't claim to be better than anybody else. They just claim to be forgiven, because Jesus died for our sins, past, present, and future. So surely our lives over the course of time, we're going to grow to be more holy and to be more loving to God and to other people. So people might recognize some sin patterns in our life and say, oh, that's a sign that Christians are no better than anybody else. Okay, that's fine. I accept that. Now turn to Jesus for yourself,
Yeah. I think the thing too is, as Christians, we don't want to have that better than thou attitude, like we're holier, or we don't want to have a little, you can come across as almost condemning. Even though we can't accept the sinfulness of the world, we need to be a light against it. But we also probably have to be careful that we don't come across condemning someone and jeopardize our witness.
Yeah, there's no reason to judge anybody, really. I mean, those within the faith, those that claim Christ, we need to hold each other accountable. But those outside the faith, we were once there too. And we just need to love them and let them know that God loves them and God's way is better. And if they ever find themselves wondering what's the meaning of life and the purpose of life, and ever find themselves not being satisfied in their sins anymore, which is bound to happen eventually, then let them know that Jesus died for those sins. And God takes sin seriously, but He also loves you enough to die for you. If you turn to Him, you can be forgiven. So, yeah, that's like the And then, like you said, tomorrow's not promised. So I think, I don't know. I cringe a little bit when, you know, people would tell me that they, you know, when we just have come up with excuses all the time to not share with family or friends or whatever. Like, we need to be bold and brave and, you know,
yeah.
And something, you gotta be wise too, like pray for God to let us know when to not be too pushy or whatever, but there's
yeah.
a difference between being wise and how you share and not sharing it at all, so.
Yeah, and that is we need to pray for wisdom for the right words, because sometimes we can try to take things in our own hands and kind of mess it up.
Yeah. But, I mean, the one thing we know for sure that we're out to share is to be ambassadors of God. So he sends us with a message of the cross. So, you know. Think of are described as like heralds of the good news and ambassadors. So like our job is not to share what we think is awesome. Our job is to share with what the King says, and the King says that he loves people and desires to be saved through Jesus. And that's what we share with people, and that doesn't take but a couple minutes. And then we let people know if they want to talk more about that, we'd be glad to, and then pray with people when they're down and build relationships with people, you know, so they know it's not just you trying to sell them on something or whatever. So.
Right. Right. And a lot of times it's just how you live your life too, Dave, right? I mean, you live your Christian life and you're a witness and people see that, and they say that they can see that you're different. Something's different about him. What makes him the way he is? And that might give you that chance, say, well, you know, I gave my life to Jesus, you know, I gave my heart to him and I'm living for him. He died for my sins and he's my, you know, and he rose on the third day and he's my savior and I'm living my life for him.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that one phrase that comes to mind that people say that makes me want to bang my head against the wall. They share the gospel. People use words if necessary. And I say, you have to use words to share the gospel, man. Like, but what you say makes sense. Your lifestyle matters, because if they see
yeah.
that your life is different, if they see that you have joy, if they see that you give thanks to God and you have a love in your heart for God and for people that others don't have and they don't have, that could spark some interest. But like you said, that's opens the door for sharing the gospel, but you need to. Obviously, words are necessary to share the gospel unless you got a T-shirt with the gospel message on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yep. Dave, what do you think of this verse? And I just kind of like really come to love it. And it's you know how John 1:14 where it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. Well, if you go a couple verses up from that, John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I just like it because it breaks down how, you know, like becoming a Christian, you start, you know, at first you believe and then you receive and then you become a child of God. And I just thought that was just like so simple, yet I just like the way it was broken down into like three parts. I'm not saying that's how simple coming to faith is, but I just like that verse.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And that's it kind of explains the difference between religion. Like all the religions are trying to earn something, right? Trying to earn salvation or trying to earn the righteous path or whatever it is for that religion. Christianity, it's not about earning anything. Christianity is basically admitting that you're in desperate need of a savior. And then once you get to that place, you know, then your heart's almost in a ready position to receive the savior. But yeah, the idea of adoption into God's family is a beautiful picture, man. So I don't know. It's just like the idea of like, you know, because of the sin in the garden, and all people have been sinning since then, or cast away from God. So that's why it's so serious, this Jesus thing, because it's not like we're basically cool with God, and like there's these Christian people that are trying to get bonus points to get into heaven, but I think I'm cool enough by being my good person self, so I think I'm okay, so I'll let Rudy and them go for the bonus points, but I'm just going to try to sneak into heaven based on my goodness. You know what I'm saying? That's not how it works. It's not how Christianity
right.
works. It's a relationship and adoption into the family. And once you're adopted into the family, your job is to serve the master, right? The master, the father, Father God. And but you also live to serve him and worship him. But you also have the blessings of being a child, right? You get an inheritance of eternal life, and you're secure in your salvation, and you have God's love for eternity, all the blessings that come along with that. You know, so it's an awesome thing to give your life to God, but it's not easy. You know, if it was just all about being a good person, we'd all be doomed. It's all about, you know, having a relationship with God, adopted into his family, and then he begins to work on us to make us more like Jesus. So that's why Christianity is actually a process of pruning sins out of our life. It can be pretty painful sometimes and go through some trials and sufferings. And actually God promises that it'll happen if you're his kid, because he disciplines those he loves.
Yeah, and we might not even think of it as discipline at the time, or like maybe even just think of it as, oh man, why is this happening to me? You know, and then you realize, well, this is happening because of what I did, or, you know, consequences, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes the good Lord's going to pull you out of something and save you from it. You know, like he'll pull you out of a fire, but sometimes he's just going to let you feel the heat for a while.
Yep. I mean, and it's hard to pinpoint, you know, what exactly the reason is in every particular event, you know, but that is part of the process of God discipline. And that's not something that should scare someone away from giving their life to God, because there's going to be suffering in anybody's life on this earth, but with being a child of God, you have yourself purposeful discipline that's going to hurt sometimes, but God has an ultimate end purpose, you know, for it. He's gonna turn it for good, you know. Even the times we act evilly, God will discipline us and turn us towards him and you know, bring good about ultimately in the end. So
I mean, if you look at anyone's life, like you were talking about Dave suffering and everything, I mean, a person could be dying of cancer, and because of that they go to the hospital and they witness to the nurse or the doctor. Or they have people come to care for them at their home, or even their friends seeing how strong your faith is, even if you have a sickness, illness like cancer, and God will use that, right? And in his will, and then, you know, no one wants to see a loved one die of cancer, but then all of a sudden that person, when they pass away and they're in the arms of Jesus, they're in heaven. I don't think there's any regrets of what happened in their life. You know, no regrets. Like you always say, you don't think there's ever been a person that regretted giving their heart to Jesus when they die.
Oh, I know that. There's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you could, someone could live a life, give their life to the Lord. No matter how easy or hard it was in life, there's going to be some trials. But when you die and you have eternity with God in heaven, there ain't nobody up there that's saying, oh, I wish I just went to some more drunken parties more, did these other sins. I really wish I would have lived it up down on the earth when I had the chance. I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all those people on the other side that say, I'd rather go to hell anyways because I could party hard down there. Nah.
that ain't how it's working in chief. So we need to repent of that attitude, because hell is a serious, horrible place. Satan wants to seeks to destroy people on the earth, and that whole lie is from him. And he desires for people to go to hell, and anyone outside of Christ, that's where it goes. And that's why this topic of you don't know what tomorrow holds is so important, because you don't want to play games with eternity. Like, you know, you sit in line at the DMV for 45 minutes and it feels like forever. And that's just a drop in the bucket for eternity. And eternity away from God, away from love, away from anything good is not a laughing matter.
Right. Amen to that, Dave. I'm kind of winding down here. Would you like to say a closing prayer, and then I'll kind of wrap things up? And again, thanks for calling in. I think it's been a good show, because it's a discussion I think every human on earth needs. You know, they need to answer that question: if I die tonight, or if I die today, will I go to heaven? Right, and that answer is, if you have faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ, you've repented of your sin, you've given your heart to Jesus. Yes. It's just like, I'll read that verse again, Dave, because I think it's beautiful. Like, whether you're a 5-year-old child or a 85-year-old man, you still can become a child of God. I'll read it one more time, and then I'll ask you to close in prayer, Dave. John chapter 1, verse 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the show, and I thank you for everyone that's listening, God. I thank you for the believers. I thank you for saving them for Jesus. And I pray that the topic of, and the reality of, tomorrow's not promised is a motivation for us to get off of our hands a culture of entertainment and laziness, almost selfishness, that we, materialism that surrounds us and always tries to draw us in, God. And I pray you help us to fight that. You help us to recognize that all around us there are people that are hurting, that are suffering, that are hungry, that have needs, that we can be the hands and feet of you, and we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I pray that you give us the boldness to do that and the lovingness to do it well. And I pray, God, also, I pray for those that are listening that have yet to believe in you, God. I pray that they recognize your love for them. It is your love that draws people to you, God. And you desire that no one shall perish. You desire that everyone listening to this show will repent and believe in you. So I pray that they'll do that and recognize the goodness that comes from that relationship with you, and the salvation that comes from that, that they'll be blessed eternally with a relationship with you. So I pray that they believe in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Have a good night.
You too, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care, son.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're just going to wrap things up. Thank you, Dave, for closing in prayer. I just pray blessings upon all those listening to the show, and blessings upon all those out there in need of your love, your message, your salvation. And I'll read the words of the song that we listened to earlier. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And let's give thanks, because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. And to that I say amen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving, everyone. And I'll close with the song, Come As You Are. For all those that are waiting till tomorrow instead of coming today, letting today be their day of salvation, come as you are. Give your heart to Jesus. God bless you all, and until next time, good night.
just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come
and see Christ my King.